Beach Radio, 107.1 FM. It is a Getaway Friday, July the 9th, 2021. And in studio this morning with the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson and having a good time. Don't forget the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will be on next hour from 11:15 a.m. till 12 p.m. And then Thunderbolt and I will be on from 12:15 until 1 today, and our big winners so far today have been Ralph, 2 tickets to the Wilds, and Brenda, 2 tickets to Zumbezi Bay. Now, Thunderbolt, before we went to break, we were talking about Harley Race.
Yes, sir.
Tell us your recollection of Harley Race.
I knew Harley Race from before I actually got into wrestling. When I was trying to get into wrestling, in my first years of in wrestling, I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and as breaking into the business, I done jobs, and I done them for Harley Race and the Axe Man. I mean, it's his partner. They were a great tag team. So over the years, after all this went down, Harley Race have always been, they say, a bad guy, a tough guy, or this or whatever. And I just found out that Harley wasn't no wrestler. He was just an individual that was a mean, crazy individual, speeding 90 miles out, 85 miles an hour, never was no slower, no da-da-da-da. If there was a guy tried to, a citizen rest, and he just knocked him over in a hole and drove off. But why I don't care for Harley is because after I left Crockett's, and went to try to help Ann Gunkel. I took a chair and went into their show and put it in the middle of their ring. And I challenged everybody in there. And Harley Race wrote in his book of what he done to me, of what he was going. And I never would let, after that point, I never would put Harley Race over. They asked me to, but I wouldn't do it. He had to work an hour. They didn't want me to go over him because I would have whooped his. He couldn't beat me. And for him, I had never done nothing to him but do whatever the wrestling men asked me to do for him. And then all of the money that he made, because I made a decision to try to help a lady, that they were taking the business away from Ray Gunkel's wife, then he gonna say what he done to me? He's a coward. He was a coward. He wasn't a piece of, made all that money, and I never, ever done nothing but what they asked me to for him, other than when they asked me to put him over. And when they asked me to put him over, they wanted to, I asked them a question: how much money am I going to make, and where are you going to have it? They had just built the Omni in Atlanta, but no, they were going to have it in the City Auditorium. It was sold out 6 or 7 weeks before. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't do it. I done it. Because they wanted me to whoop his, and I would have. And I did. I didn't beat him, but he had to go an hour. You understand me?
Now, when the promoter says, we want you to put him over, and you say, I'm not doing that, what's the promoter's reaction?
It don't make any difference to me. Because it's people that wouldn't put Hulk Hogan over because he's not qualified. He was one of those chosen ones, pushed. They're selling, but they're still working. stealing the jobs. Bob Backlund wouldn't put him over because he wasn't no wrestler. Bob Backlund would whoop him. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about the wrestling business. We ain't talking about show business. We're not talking about, you know, I mean, Hollywood. So what did they do? Hook up with Hollywood. Who was his supporter? T. You understand what I'm saying? Who was the other one? Basketball players, football players. Mike Tyson. Do you understand what I'm, where I'm coming from? Do you know the only thing that kept Mike Tyson off of Steve Cole Austin was Jerry Briscoe was up under there had controlling Steve Austin. Couldn't do nothing because Jerry Briscoe had him. You understand what I'm saying to you? Mike would have beat him to death. Are you hearing me?
You know, I'm trying.
It's
to
all give, about money.
Well, I'm trying to give the wrestling, just the people listening this morning, because this has never been discussed to great detail, because I think there's some confusion in the process of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, a promoter calls you up, and they say, "I want you to come in, and I want you to wrestle." Let's say I want you to come in and I want you to wrestle Oxbaker, okay? So, and you say, now, at that point, when you agree or not agree to do that, when the promoter calls, is the money for that match discussed?
It don't work, no.
Okay,
no,
now
no,
so...
See, all of that is wrong.
So,
I'm in a territory.
Right.
The Harley races... The big stars, they would move around. They would move around to the big places where we sell them out every week. And just because he is the champion, he gonna come in and I'm going to put him over? No.
Okay, I understand that. But I'm saying when the match is being laid out.
No.
When they say...
No money discussed.
No money discussed.
Only somebody discussed money is when the individuals come into the territory and they never have done it with me.
So at what point do they come and say, we want you to put him over?
In the match. I mean...
Right. So did that happen...
Before the match.
Before the match.
Yeah.
So when they say that, we want you to put him over, whoever it is.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're making for that match.
No, I've never known what I was going to make for any match. I have asked what I was going to make, but I never was told. I have never had but one contract, and that was not worth the paper that he wrote in. Most individuals, before they come in, they have their paper, their guarantee, or so forth and so on. That never did happen to me. Okay.
Well, let's take that instance where Harley Race is coming in. They want you to put him over. You say no. So it decided they're going to do a draw, an hour draw. So
they have no choice.
Right. So when do you get paid for that match?
Well, whenever the payday is.
Okay. So in that, what did you get paid?
Wasn't enough to even think about.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The whole thing is, there's, look, the only thing, let me see, there's two things that I know, definitely. I know that, and I only know this because I heard it from a good source. James E. Barnett guaranteed Ronnie Piper $3,000 a week. That's pretty good money back in them days. I never had that. And that's how they normally do things for individuals that draw things. Lex Luger during the war starting, those individuals getting 700 and $1,000, and some of them was getting more. That what they was giving, who they wanted to give it to. All of the other individuals don't know what they're getting.
So
I didn't know no time. And every time I got my piece of pennies, I pretty near cried because I knew it wasn't what they were paying the other guy.
So if you had, let's say you had been on a guaranteed contract.
Can't say that because I wasn't ever on one.
But would it have mattered in your conversations with the promoter about putting over somebody?
No. If they had paid me right and treated me right, if the guy was capable or his status was right, I would put him over. But if he was not a wrestler, couldn't wrestle, no, I wouldn't put him over.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, because in the 80s, the boom of the 80s, Roddy Piper mm-hmm. and Hulk Hogan became big stars mm-hmm. with Vince McMahon mm-hmm. during WrestleMania 1. Mm-hmm. And Roddy Piper refused to let Hulk Hogan beat him.
Okay, I know that.
And not too long after that, Roddy Piper was gone.
Well, okay. Well, okay. Do you think that was right?
You know, not on the whole, but I wish I knew the intricacies of what was going on.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you, the emphases that's going on there. You know, where, and we were talking about this earlier. You was talking about 96,000 people in the Pontiac. And that was, the big deal of that thing was Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant. Now, Hulk Hogan made it. They pushed him. They pushed him, and they pushed him. They crammed him. They crammed him. They pushed him. Everybody done what Vince McMahon wanted them to do to get Hulk over. You understand that? I mean, qualifications. Hulk Hogan had one or two moves, just like Ric Flair has one or two moves, chosen ones to do and be in that position. All the Backlunds, the Iron Sheiks, they have questioned whether they're going to do this or not because of it's supposed to be professional wrestling. It's not supposed to be friendship or difference. It's supposed to be individuals out there competing one another and that can defeat another individual. Throw all that out the door. Whatever, in the last 4 years, we've seen not what is right, but we've seen you believe what I tell you to believe. Not what you see, not what you hear. This is how it's going to be. Now, is that right?
Well, you know what I think about? Is that, like I said, you're right.
Right or wrong. See, only one thing now. This is what a promoter can do and what a diversion is either right or wrong. We're talking about situation and making excuses.
Well, I guess what I was going to say was, as we said, Roddy Piper was not willing to do it, so they did get rid of him. But then Andre the Giant, very similar to that time, was willing to do it. And they drew 93,000 people
right
in the Silverdome.
Right.
Andre put Hulk over in that match.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference between the two?
Hulk, Andre, it ain't no telling how much money. Do you realize how much money 95,000 people, you do the math, tickets. I'm sure that Andre was paid right. I'm sure that Hulk Hogan was paid more than anybody. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever seen anybody else pick up Andre? Yes. But that was built to. You understand what I'm saying? And the fans don't know any of the particulars about anything. All they know and all they wanted to see was what Vince McMahon wanted and what the fans wanted to see. Vince wanted to see somebody slam him because had nobody done it.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you were the promoter.
And that's what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you're the promoter and you have a match laid out and you tell a guy that he's going to put the other guy over. Mm-hmm. And the guy says no.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Well, you know, that's the reason. You know, just like in life, marriage, and so forth and so on, if you're going to play the game, you got to play it right. If he's qualified, he's qualified. Do you think that Joe Blow would be a boxing champion? Do you think Joe Blow would be a golfing champion? Do you think Joe Blow can be a tennis champion? Do you think Joe Blow can be a soccer champion? Do you think Joe Blow can be a basketball player?
So when a qualified person does say that, well, how do you handle it?
Well, when a qualified person says, what more can you say? If your business is about football and the best that is, and if your business want to show the world that he ain't no good, but he is. If that individual go along with that, that's all right. And the only reason that individual's going to go along with that is because the money is right. It's all about the money, and it's all about being right. That would never happen if I promoted, because I wouldn't link it up like that. That is one of the problems the wrestling business is where it is today. Bookers don't know what to book. That's the reason they're so pissed off at Ole. Ole drew more money than anybody that done what they're doing in the far as in smaller place compared to drawing more money than the bigger place because he done it every week, constantly. People that come to Georgia and one time come through Charlotte, at one time they come through Florida, was the backbone of the wrestling business. It was about everybody. If you wasn't about something in wrestling, you didn't get into that, because that was the cream of the crop. It was all about wrestling. And it was days when we were individuals, Bob Roop, Jerry, Jack, we'd do anything a promoter was asked us to do. We would discourage people, hurt them where they didn't want to get in, because it would hurt the business. It wasn't right. I had to quit doing it for people that don't care about me. They show that they care about me just like they care about them. The only reason I was there and tolerated and kept along because I drew money not with just this one or that one. I drew money with everybody that I was with.
Now, it's interesting.
And I've done everything that they wanted me to do other than put Harley Race over.
It's interesting because you told me after this all was over, and in recent years, you had dinner with Ole Anderson.
Yeah.
And you asked him in that conversation, you said, why didn't I get the pay that everybody else got? And Ole's answer of today is, yeah, you did.
We got the same pay.
So is he lying when he says that?
And I have no idea. What do you believe?
I don't know.
Well, me too. I have no idea. I know what I made. I know it wasn't sufficient.
Right. But do you believe?
But, I went along as much as I could until I just couldn't take no more. And Ole was in the position to maybe do more, but he had people over him.
Right, but when he makes that statement that everybody was making the same, is that...
I don't know, and I doubt it. I question it. That is the only thing that I question Ole about.
Why would he say that?
Hey, I don't know. I have no idea. And he'll stick to that word. Matter of fact, I had just before the pandemic came, Dennis Wright and I, we went and had dinner with Ole, lunch with Ole a couple times, and just before I come up here, when I was putting things together, getting ready, I was putting together a fan fest where Ole and myself and a few other individuals, and Ole agreed that he might would come. The oldest very ill and hadn't been going too many places. But I was trying to bring it all, because if you listen to Ole's tapes, Ole's the truthfulest one out there about this wrestling business. And people hate him just like they hate me. Ole always gave me a job. I always drew money for Ole and every other place. And Ole would speak that. Everybody else, only thing that Ole would say about me, that I was hard because I knew what I was doing. Just like Jim Cornette say, if I only had time, if I only could sing, or if whatever I said, however I did it, it drew money. It was me, just like Blue Eyes. He did it his way, and he done money. It was top-notch stuff, and my top-notch stuff was not considered with Joe Blow's top-notch stuff was always more or talked about or put on the, if you start talking about Thunderbolt, they start talking about somebody else was better. And to my feeling and knowledge and what fans are telling me, I never did like to blow my own smoke, but I was one of the best. And as you know, and as I know, I am the best on this stick in wrestling ever been, and you can, what am I listed on? How many individuals in this wrestling business do they have listed over me? In so many things. You understand me? Am I right or wrong?
No, that's right.
Okay, so that's all I can go on. And what I know, see, I don't know a whole lot. Because they got it like I didn't miss no time. But ever since 1975, ever since I ran that show against them, ever since I come down there, they have pretending to be. But their actions shut him down, and they done that.
We got to get some questions. Here we go. Now, the first question, because we want to get another winner this hour, is, in all of the road pictures that Bob Hope did, who was his partner in those road pictures? That's a nice, easy softball. 740-383-9944. Now, at the end of this hour, which will be in about 19 minutes, we're going to do a drawing and get a pair of Zumbezi Bay tickets, a pair of the Wilds tickets, or a pair of tickets to the Columbus Zoo. Who was Bob Hope's friend in all of those road pictures? Ralph has been a winner today. Brenda's been a winner today. Don't forget the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up next hour, 11:10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then Thunderbolt and I will be back from 12:10 until 1 p.m. to give some more stuff away. But who was Bob Hope's partner in all of those road movies? 740-383-9944. It's an interesting question in any business, though, that we've been talking about. When the owner or boss or whatever you want to call them says do something, how much right does the employee have to say yes or no?
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying. Because I was told that many times. Get your own. And they block that. Get your own. And they block that. But then I drew money for them. And they didn't change. Things didn't change. And I would have to leave. Because I have a feeling I ain't no dummy. And it's all dollars and cents. And it's all about numbers. How can I be a number one drawer and a less receiver of money? I have a tape where out of the mouth of an individual where I was paid for the main event, $1,000, but I was told that him and another individual were paid $5,000. And they say that the building was sold out also. I don't know about that, but I do know that the building was sold out the night that I was there. You understand what I'm saying? And so why would an individual lie like that about what they paid them?
Well, I think the process that we talked about earlier is the confusing thing, and maybe has made for more problem in that business, the wrestling business, than any other thing. Because if you don't know what you're making, and then somebody tells you to do something, you might not want to do it, and then that might affect your pay, because obviously the person doing the pay is going to have hostility.
Well, but that's fine. That's all you need to know. Ain't nobody got to tell you nothing. And I have no problem with that. Because you always got some place to go or something. You don't need nobody but Jesus. Provide. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. I've been screwed many times. And maybe it's because I speak about it or have an opinion about it or don't go along with it. But I have a mind also. I have a standard also.
Well, I'll give you an example, and it's not from the wrestling business, but this is how two sides to every story, and I think this is what we don't do in this country anymore, is we might not agree with the other person's side at all.
Right.
But we don't even take the time to understand
it. We won't even discuss it.
And something happened a few weeks ago. I had gotten breakfast here at the station, and I said on Facebook, because it was before the 4th of July holiday, I said, you know, I got bacon and eggs this morning or whatever it was, and I said, I wonder if Betsy Ross used to do that for Ben Franklin. because I was talking in the July 4th holiday. And somebody said to me, well, that's a sexist statement, that Betsy Ross would be cooking for Ben Franklin. Now, that never crossed my mind that that would be taken that way.
Okay, well, that's just what I'm talking about. I mean, that was a diversion. Didn't make no sense of what they asked you. Wasn't nothing intentional, or wasn't nothing malice, or you wasn't trying to put nobody down or do. You're making a statement instead of dialoguing, compromising, or understanding. They went off on how they feel about you saying it.
Right, and my response to it was that I understand, because I want to understand it. I understand what you're saying. I've taken the woman and I've put her in a cooking position.
And they all do cook.
Right. So I guess I understand why you think that that was a sexist statement.
No. I don't think like that.
Right.
Because, I mean, you just made a statement of, you respect both of them people you talking about.
Absolutely.
And see, that is where that individual bringing that to the attention was trying to pull more out of that than what you put in it.
And I think that happens a lot with everybody.
There you go.
And I think people look at people and they say, well, they just didn't want to do that. Well, there could have been extenuating circumstances.
That's it. But no, it's my way or no way. And there's so many people that caters to one way and people to another way. Everybody got the right to that. But what is right and what is wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what I believe is right in life is loyalty. Because what loyalty means to me is it's easy to be with somebody when things are good. That's easy. Because things are good.
That's right.
It's being around them when things are bad.
Right. That's right.
And you might not even agree with what they're doing, but
right.
You say, okay, listen,
we'll try this.
We'll try this. We'll deal with this, and we'll go on, and let's see what happens. Because right. I know a lot of times loyalty does pay off. Because if you stick with somebody when times are not so good, when they turn good, they think about you.
That's right.
And they say, oh, you know, they have been there this entire... I can count on them.
That's what I'm talking about.
So if I call them, I know...
They're going to be there.
That's and a lot right. of people aren't.
That's right.
So, you know, I think that's what it all boils down to.
It all boils down to... And where all of that come from? Trying to do right or trying to be decent? Respecting other people? You want people to do you the same way you do them. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
Okay, so where did that come from? That's the part in us, the spiritual part in us, that the reason this touches everything in every walk of life. We speak about Christmas. Jesus was born on Christmas. You know, it seems to me that the big thing, the big haters, is Jesus want to help you to help yourself, want to help everybody that want to be helped, but Jesus is trying to help everybody, but, well, we just don't want to help them people, or we don't want to help those people, or we don't believe in that, or whatever, the religion. But there's more preachers just as bad as sinners, druggers, killers out there in the street leading people the wrong way. There is good people in everything, and the bad apple will spoil the whole bunch, and the bad apple will always surface when any good is trying to be laid out or trying to be doing right. That's the vendetta from the before all of our time, before the beginning of the world, the power. Satan had the same power as there Jesus and all of it, but he all went to he wanted to be the ruler of the whole thing. He wanted to go with however he wanted it to be, right or wrong, and he leaned more to the right, to the wrong part. You know, there wasn't no question. It was going to be. It did happen. Kicked out. Understanding. We talk about spirit now. We ain't talking about. We're talking about spirit. Kicked out. Look how this earth. Look at your history. Check the history. What happened to the earth? What happened to the people? It's all on record. What? Who done it? How they done it? It's all on record. Right and wrong. All on record. And but we choose, and even scholars. I didn't finish school, but I have a PhD degree in life of because of individuals that rocked the boat, wanted their way, want to do it their way. No, you don't do it. I mean, it takes it all to make one. Divided, it won't last. Hatred, it's gonna. God's gonna take off. That's the reason. People don't want to, or some of them don't believe in God. Well, that's all on them. I believe in Jesus Christ because He came in flesh form to save our sin, this whole sin, and you can't say that this is not a sin-sick world. Of what we've seen in the last 4 years is almost unbelievable.
Have you always believed? Was there ever a period in your life where you didn't?
No. When I you name it, I claim it. I done it all. But there come a time in my life after when I come back to reality. I didn't come back to reality almost till I was 15 years old. I was living in a sin-sick world. And that wasn't on my choice. That was just the pleasures of darkness was available. You know, and I mean, that's how old I know.
When you were in the wrestling industry for those 60s, 70s years,
56 years.
Did anybody ever tell you, or did you ever use religion in your promos?
Well, this is one thing. I thought that I was called to preach, but I didn't want to play with it. I thought I was head over and heels with Reverend C.L. Franklin. I knew the world, and I heard the real gospel, not just preachers out there saying thing to raise money or do da 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 da. But I heard the real thing, and when I announced that I was going on the road to try to follow a career, my pastor, Reverend R.S. Rucker in Waterloo, Iowa, told me, he said, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. Well, at that time, I didn't understand the full of Jesus, what was expected of us as human beings. Not what is expected through man. I'm talking about the spirit of what God come down. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me if they want to come. Well, I made a choice. I didn't know how. But I did make that choice. And when I got into wrestling, when I started my interviews, there was, I had to recognize Jesus that brought me that far. I mean, I was turned out when me and women were 6 years old. I got married and went back to my own age when I was 15 years old. I left Waterloo. I was 23 years old, and I had been through everything that couldn't get no job. Everything. I was a man. Then I come out into this world of big money, movers and shakers. Still saw that Pat O'Connor, Sonny Myers, Harley Race, Jody Hamlin. That was the first. And that's been drugged behind me all of them 56 years. Lies, Willie Pickett. Pat O'Connor didn't train me. Somebody put that in there for whatever reason. I can't do no, what can I do about it? Willie Pickett, the biggest thing it is. Pat O'Connor, the biggest man that they wanted to be, but couldn't whoop me. And he didn't like that. You understand what I'm saying to you? I was a black kid, 23 years old. Here's an Olympic champion. Couldn't do nothing with me. I mean, hey, he saw I had potential from the get-go, but was trying to stop that. And all along that path, it's been there. And then when I finally get to the point, to a place where I start drawing money and understanding those things, all of those promoters died. That was right, real, fair to that point. Then the age, just like now, the age of the change. Bearcat, I wish I knew all of Bearcat's story, because it's very similar to mine, or mine similar to his, because he was before me. Him and I went to San Francisco, we went to NAACP, we found all of the things, the EEOs, they know all of the things that certain promoters have done. Certain promoters have paid a lot of money for the wrong things they've done. That individual on the Martin Downey show, what did he say? You come to the ring saying you bringing God with you every time. What? Blah, 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 blah. How could I have survived all of them vicious that didn't know nothing about me other than I could draw money, other than, and then Bill Leedy. He worked with Andre. He was in New York. He had all the big chances, all the so forth and so on. Then he tells that I'm hard to get along with. He tells how he ran through Greg Valentine. Then he said, but then he versus the thing that I called Barney the promoter and said, and when asked him why, thought he was gonna beat me up. It's wildest dream. He wish he could have. If he could have, he would have. You see, you understand what I'm saying?
And
he know no better. He know he better now.
Thunderbolt Patterson is with us. I do want to let people know the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker is coming up next hour. So Thunderbolt will take a little hour break here, but he'll be back at noon.
Yeah.
He'll be
back and finish that story.
And finish that story.
Yes, sir.
So Thunderbolt's going to take a little break here for an hour. We'll get Pastor Steve Whitaker in here, and then Thunderbolt will be back at noon. Stay tuned.
Press Corps, Helen Thomas. Ellen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly, 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you can